Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. Dr. Umat is off this weekend. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon here answering calls and questions, as well as Dr. Dan Nelson of Pro Ortho. We like to call you the pain doctor because people that are needing or being told hip replacement and shoulder surgery and knee surgery, there might be alternatives, and that's where you come in, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So if you have a question about that, today is the day to talk with Dr. Dan Nelson at 206-421-5757. Okay, let's finish up that call with Stan, who was calling about the colonoscopy and dangers.
Yeah, I think the concern is that this thing scars down where they did the surgery, where they attached the two pieces of bowel back together. And it's not unusual you'll get a constriction, kind of a circular scar tissue ring there.
Right.
And so, you know, that is an issue that, you know, your doctor is obviously a little worried about. But how long after surgery was he attempting to go by there?
No, what happened was when she was admitted to the hospital she had real severe abdominal pain when this perforation occurred. And, of course, was held in the hospital for several days, antibiotics, went home. Then she went and had the colonoscopy we're talking about, and that's when he couldn't get by the area. He said, you know, that area is too inflamed. It's not safe to go through it. You need to see a specialist about a colon section, which she did. And so since then, he hasn't had any pain even to this day. There's many pain going on. But obviously, there's something that's irritating it somewhat. They could not do the colonoscopy. They had to do, I'm going to call it a virtual colonoscopy. It was like being in an MRI machine where they scanned the colon. That's where they determined the area that was inflamed, that, of course, where the surgeon was able to say, okay, here's the area we're looking at, and we'll go from there. Gosh, I've taken up way too much of your time today. I'm sure other people are trying to get in. I appreciate everything you've done. Are there any meds that are kind of designed at all for diverticulitis or lotus, whatever it is?
There's a variety of medications that are, you know, there as anticholinergic medications to kind of slow things down. But I'm not real fond of them because while they are effective on the bowel, statistically they increase the risk of dementia because they also impact the nerve transmission in the brain. So they slow down the nerve transmission in the colon, but they slow it down in the brain too.
I see. So, yeah. No, we're not interested in any of that.
That's right. I'd rather poop liquid than go demented on me, okay?
That's for sure. Well, I think you'll pursue the Metamucil routine and see what effect that has on it, because that's something that's not too tough to take daily if it works.
That's right. It's worth a try anyway.
So, all right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You bet, Stan. Thank you for your call. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We are headed to Tenino. Glenn is on the line. Hi there, Glenn.
Hello, Glenn.
Good morning.
I'm calling because I heard a guy last weekend complaining about jock itch.
All right.
And I used to get that back in the old days when I was quite a bit younger. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, if I could, tell the two tricks that I've come up with that seems to work for me.
All right.
One,
go ahead.
One is yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Do it.
Oh, okay. One is it's called Old Spice Pure Sport. 3x clean, I can't read it, N-E-T. But anyway, I assume it's a sports wash made for young men who tend to have hormones and glands hyper doing whatever it is they do.
Okay.
And that works really, really well. But the main one I wanted to tell you about was it's Menin Speed Stick,
mm-hmm.
Ultimate Sport. And that just knocks the crap out of it. And it also, if you've got, my brother used to have hemorrhoids all the time. And sadly, he died about 10 years ago. But anyway, this stuff, you know, you clean up nice and rub this stuff on, and hemorrhoid pain is gone. I mean, flat gone.
All right.
Well, anyway.
These sound like deodorants. Actually.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of my husband's deodorants.
No, it's not a deodorant. It's an antiperspirant.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so it decreases the sweat and the wetness where the fungus can grow.
That's what I think. What it does is it makes an environment where the fungus, which is chewing on your rear end, can't live there.
Sure.
And it just knocks. It really, really works well for me. So I thought if that guy's listening, he can go. I mean, you buy them right over the counter.
Of course.
And you know, they smell nice and everything else. So I just thought I'd call up and pass that on.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, very helpful, Glenn.
I hadn't thought of that at all, but it seems like it might work well.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. See, we learn people. We learn from our callers.
We sure do. We love it when you call in and tell us what works for you. So maybe something that we've not thought of. So
you know what I've always said, Dr. Mixon, when people ask me who my best teachers were, I say my patients.
Your patients.
Oh.
Really true. Really is true.
Wow. Okay.
I say that in all humility.
That's good. Here's the number to get through, 206-421-5757. That is the number to call to get through. We've got Rich and Don to get to in just a moment. But want to remind you that the show, Leading Edge Medicine, is being brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Dr. Mixon, you started this, you're in your 26th year now?
Yep.
Wow. And helping people with treating the normal but undesired stages of aging.
Yeah, you know, the problem with getting older is aging gracefully is not possible.
No, that's kind of an
oxymoron.
Aging
is the progressive loss of our graces.
Mm.
We get slower, we get fatter, we get clumsy, our sensory systems are going down, we don't see or hear as well anymore, our balance is not as good, you know, our muscles are weaker. So that's all normal, but it's not desirable.
Right.
And so these are the sort of things we treat. And so our job is to take people that are sliding downhill, not because they're sick, but just because they're getting older,
mm-hmm.
and help them to be stronger and faster and leaner and smarter and sexier and, for that matter, brighter and happier. And so all of those things that naturally come with aging that we don't like, that's our bread and butter. That's what we treat. And I got to tell you, I've shown you a picture of me in my early 50s.
I know. Dr. Samira and I were looking at that going, no way, that's not him.
I was, you know, I was round. And
we couldn't believe it. Yeah.
I was sprawled in a chair, and that was my customary thing to do, was to sit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now at 76, you know, I run, jump, leap, cavort, dance, and sing, and you know, I'm stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and my wife swears sexier than I was in my 50s, and that's what I want for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to get slow, fat, dumb, weak, and sexless just because you've lived a while.
Yeah. You should be rewarded for that.
That's right. You should be climbing those hills, not sliding down them.
Mm-hmm. Playing with the grandkids and the great-grandkids and not just saying, no, I don't have it in me today.
Yes, but, you know, I don't really spend my life playing with the kids either.
Not every day.
You know, creating companies and building stuff mm-hmm. and learning new things.
And you're good at that.
And that's what I want to do.
There you go. So come to Longevity Medical Clinics if you are one that doesn't want to just waste away and disappear and feel bad the rest of your life.
If you're tired of getting slower, fatter, weaker, tireder, then come see us and let us help you.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we do for a living.
Come on in. Still offering that free health analysis appointment. And here's what you do. You call, get the appointment, which is just two simple tests, a blood test and an in-body test for you. Here's the number. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can call our clinic or go to the clinic online. We have a website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. You get to see what we do. We've got videos there, information, and you can schedule your free health analysis appointment there as well by going online, picking the Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood Clinic. We have three clinics. There's got to be one near you. Pick the day and the time that works best for your busy schedule, and then come on in and meet our staff. You will be very, very happy with that, and we can find out what's going on with you and get you on the road to living a stronger life, right? We want you to be stronger.
Faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Happier, absolutely. On the web, it's lmclinic.com, or give us a call at 866-86-YOUNG. All right, we're going to take our next question and at least get the question. Then we'll take a break and be back with more of your calls. So let's at least talk to Rich and see what he is wanting to know. Rich is calling from Sumner. Hi, Rich.
Hello, Rich.
Oh.
Hi there.
Well,
how can we help? How can we help you, Rich?
A question about testosterone, mm-hmm. Side effects, good and bad, and what is a safe amount to take?
All right. Well, that's something I know a fair bit about. So, yes, we'll take our little break, and I'll be right back, and we'll visit about testosterone, pluses, minuses.
All right, we're going to find out more about that, so turn up the radio. This is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Dan Nelson. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky, said goodbye.
Job, tequila.
He was just
Tequila Sunrise, the Eagles. Hello and welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. We always enjoy the music that we hear. So we're like, kind of humming around. Yeah, humming along with the song. My name is Lynette. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon here, Dr. Dan Nelson, and taking your calls today. And we have several on the way. Right now we are talking with Rich from Sumner. Wanted to know about those pros and cons of testosterone.
Well, I think the single biggest con of testosterone is people think that that's what men need. If your doctor is suggesting testosterone and ignoring the other five or six things that always go with it, you've got a doctor who doesn't know what he's doing. Testosterone is one of at least six hormones that are dropping with age. And replacing it is important. It tends to give you more muscle mass. It tends to make you a man more confident. It helps to alleviate that age-related depression. So it is a positive. Depending on how you take it, is going to influence the possible adverse effects. My worst way to take it is the shot. I never, ever, well, I won't say never because I do out of about 1,000 men, I've probably got two on the shots, maybe three. but it's for people that can't, for a very good reason, use it any other way because it gives you the least physiologic sorts of levels. Your levels start way too high the day or two after the shot, and then they go down through the normal range, and then once they're too low again, you take another shot and go too high. And so you're only in the ideal range for a matter of a few days out of every 2 weeks or so. So it's not a method I like. There's pellets, and you put the pellets in, and they will be dissolved and absorbed over the period of about 3 months. And so you got to go back every 3 months and have a new set of pellets put under your skin. They're reliable. The problem is that you can't adjust the dose from day to day as you need it. You put it in, and you're stuck with that particular dose. And it may be too much, it may be too little, it may be acceptable but less than ideal. But whatever you put in that pellet, you can't change for the next 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm not real crazy about the pellets. Yeah. I like to use a transdermal cream that we can apply. And I usually apply it in the morning and wash it off every evening. That way we get good absorption during the day when we need the extra testosterone. And then at night when we wash it off, within a couple of hours, we've metabolized out what was in our system, and our testicles start to work and make as much as they're capable of making through the night. And it's good if your own body gets to do some of the work so that things don't just shrivel up and go away, because that is the primary adverse effect of the shots and the pellets, is that your testicles shrivel up and become about the size of peanuts. So that's
not ideal.
Not ideal. Well, you know, if you're not having trying to have children, it's not important except psychologically. Most men are used to having a pair of balls, and they don't want them to go away. I mean, it's pretty simple.
You know?
Born with a pair, die with a pair. That's been my motto.
Doesn't seem too much to ask.
Right? You know, so I don't like the shots or the pellets, but you know, that's me. So not a whole lot of side effects. The problem is in dosing. You have to. It's not what you take. It's how much is in your bloodstream at any given moment. And so we measure our people, and we measure before, we do a calculation, we check you again about 2 weeks later and check it, and then we'll check it 2 months later, and then if we're in good shape, we'll check it every 3 months.
Because if you don't measure,
you don't know.
That's right. So we have to measure you on an ongoing basis about every 3 months and make adjustments as we need to keep your levels right where we want them to be. And for me, the target I'm usually shooting for is the mid-range of a healthy 25-year-old guy. That's pretty much where I want most of my men to be. So, does that answer your question?
Well, it opens up a lot of others, but I've heard that there are serious drawbacks to taking these testosterone pills that they advertise on.
Oh, no, never, ever, ever take a testosterone pill. Okay. You are not designed to eat sex hormones. And oral testosterone will trigger liver tumors. So if somebody offers you testosterone pills, do not take them. Okay.
Big no-no, huh?
Big no-no.
Okay.
But I suspect what he's probably talking about are the pills that are being advertised to raise your testosterone. These are usually herbal and botanical pills. And the biggest drawback to them is they only raise it on average about 12%. A healthy 18-year-old is going to have a total testosterone of 1,000 to 1,200. A 60 to 70-year-old is going to have a testosterone of about 200 to 250. A 12% rise, if you're starting off at 200, is going to get you up to 224. Yes, you
doesn't
made a little more testosterone,
much.
But it's a piddly amount. And so I just tell people generally they're a waste of your time and money. The only miracle with the over-the-counter testosterone boosters is the amount of money they put in the pockets of the people selling them.
So when you are on a well monitored program such as yours, is there any effect on blood pressure?
Yes.
That you have to be aware of?
Well, it doesn't generally raise blood pressure. Generally, what happens is testosterone is a vasodilator, so it tends to open up your blood vessels. So you get better blood supply to your organs and to your tissues. And so, if anything, it'll tend to moderate or lower your pressures a bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that answers my questions. I appreciate your time.
But if you really want to know about...
I listen to your show regularly.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rich.
If you really want to know about, you know, what the hormone manipulation should be, you ought to come in and sit down with one of my docs and, you know, get your health analysis appointment, do your big blood work, sit down. You have an hour to go over where you are and where the doctor thinks you ought to be and how to get you there. So,
yeah, that's where's your office down in our area?
You're in Sumner, so the closest one to you most likely would be our Tacoma office. Yeah. And we also have Linwood and Kirkland. Yeah.
Whereabouts in Tacoma?
Well, do you know where Target is?
Well, there's several Target stores.
Yeah, several Targets. Okay. I tell you what, if you call our number.
Or go online to lmclinic.com. And they have all three clinics there, and the addresses are there. It's just off Highway 16.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. lmclinic.com is where you go, Rich.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. Thank you so much. We are going to stay in the Tacoma area. We have John on the line. Looks like a question for Dr. Nelson here. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning. I was calling about some low back pain. And I'm 72. And, you know, over the years, I've had some of that type of thing. Anyway, so what I got kind of going on right now is it's been bothering me like 6 or 7 weeks or so. And it's only on my right side. And it's kind of like maybe halfway between the spine and the side and a little area above the ear buttocks. And it's kind of like constant. And so I went into my primary care the other day and you know, told him about this, and he gave me a prescription for meloxicam. So I was kind of wondering, what does that do to you? Do you know?
Meloxicam, yeah. Meloxicam's an NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. It is a useful medication. You know, if we were to look at you, you know, if you came to us, if this continued, for example, I mean, the first thing would be, how about some physical therapy, some chiropractic, you know, hands-on stuff to see if that gets better? I suspect what you have going on, John, is probably lumbar facet syndrome or lumbar facet arthritis. The way you describe it, very common source of back pain, especially in anybody over the age of 50. And that's something that can be treated pretty well, sometimes with the hands-on physical therapy. But if it doesn't get better, then you got to move on to more aggressive things, and that's what we do. Now, meloxicam, not a bad medication, but any medication, like Dr. Mixon says, if it's good enough to help, it's also can be good enough to hurt you. So I'm not a big fan of people, especially older people, taking NSAIDs forever because there's just too many downsides, including heart attacks, problems with GI bleeds, all kinds of stuff. Dr. Mixon's nodding his head. I don't prescribe long-term. I think meloxicam is a pretty good choice overall, but I don't like people, you know, I have people come in and are taking ibuprofen like M&M's, they're popping them all.
Oh, boy.
And that's just a recipe for disaster. So not a bad choice, but I think, you know, I personally would not recommend staying on that meloxicam forever.
You'd rather find the underlying problem.
Treat the underlying problem. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So,
I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually haven't taken it yet because I, mm-hmm. you go to the pharmacy, you get it, they give you the drug information sheet, and I read all that stuff,
and
so I'm actually leery of actually taking it. And you mentioned physical therapy, and I have done physical therapy before, and I actually think, and that's been a couple of years ago, and I actually think it helped. And to mm-hmm. this day, I still do those exercises.
Okay,
and
good.
I do my jog and my walk. I walk a mile, I jog a mile every mm-hmm. day, and these types of things to keep, you know, exercise, et cetera. So to come to your office, do you need a referral?
No. You don't really need. In some cases, if you're on Kaiser or one of those kind of exclusive plans where they only want you to see Kaiser doctors, you may need a special kind of referral. But for the most part, you really don't.
I mean, is it like something if I called your office and say, hey, can I schedule an appointment for low back pain? I mean, I'm obviously in Medicare, and it's mm-hmm. I don't actually need a referral from the plan I'm on doesn't require me to get a referral.
You don't really need a referral in most cases. So if you call the office, they should absolutely make an appointment and come see me. Sometimes I'm scheduled out several weeks, so you might end up seeing Sarah, my PA, who's excellent. She's mm-hmm. outstanding. But even some of those cases, I try to stop in and say a quick hello before those new patients leave. But yeah.
Okay, so I don't have to. They won't ask me for a referral if I call. Okay.
You don't have to. If they see you need a referral, you got to call me or
okay.
They got to let me know because they're giving you the wrong information.
There you go. Hey, and John, I'm going to give you that contact information for Dr. Dan Nelson when we come back from this next break. So grab a pen and paper, and I will give you that information when we return to Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment, okay? All right. We have some more callers we're going to get to. And Dawn, you are next. So stay tuned. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back. That takes me back. Love that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's why I picked these songs.
Yeah. Take it easy. Oh, boy. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with two incredible doctors. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon answering questions today. Also, Dr. Dan Nelson. And if you need contact information for Dr. Dan Nelson, we promise to give you that. John, you ready? Here we go. Dr. Dan Nelson is with Pro Ortho. And that number to contact him is 425-823-4000, okay? 425-823-4000. And you can also go to his website, danielnelsonmd.com. All right, danielnelsonmd.com for Dr. Dan Nelson. All right, we are going from Dan to Dawn in Vancouver. Hi, Dawn. Is it true you're calling from Vancouver, B.C., or is that Vancouver, Washington?
B.C.
Okay, Vancouver, B.C., and you've got a question for the doctors. Welcome.
Yes, I've had an issue with nasal problems for some time, and it seems to have gotten worse here, especially with this air quality concerns that we've had, especially in British Columbia, mm-hmm. where it seems like our entire province is on fire with these wildfires. And we get the smoke, and it really creates an issue for me. I've tried air purifiers and humidifiers, and the issue is mainly when I go to bed at night. During the day, I'm not too bad, but I don't know what it is laying down. It creates an issue. And one nostril remains always free, and then it gets dry in the night, then I get up and drink water, and then I have to, you know what, after that, go to the washroom, the bathroom, and this seems to be a continuing thing all night. It keeps me awake, and I went to my doctor, and he says, well, it's because you breathe through your mouth is why your mouth is dry and your nose is dry, but he didn't really have any answers. So I'm just wondering if there's anything out there that you think that it might be helpful. I've used saline solutions. I've used nasal sprays. Tried everything almost, and it seems I'm going nowhere with this. And wondering if you had any thoughts, Dr. Mixon.
Have you seen an ENT doc, and has he taken a good look for nasal polyps or sinus issues?
Good point that you brought this up. I had polyp surgery a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an old adage that, you know, cancer formers form cancers, and people who have had nasal polyps frequently get them again. So I think step one, I'd get back to my ENT guy and let him take a look up there and see what's going on. You know, you should be able to breathe through your nose. And if you can't breathe through your nose in the night, you're going to breathe through your mouth. I mean, the only other option is to stop breathing, and that's not a healthy one.
We don't want that.
So, no.
Sometimes with air quality here, it seems that might be the best way to go.
But no.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, because you know, I clearly cannot examine you through the radio, but from your story, it sounds like you've got a high probability of obstruction in those nares from a recurrent polyp.
It's interesting, though, when I'm talking to you now on the phone, I'm up and I'm not too bad. It's still there, but
yeah.
Not too bad. But when I lay down, it seems to be a main issue.
Sure, but you see, a polyp, by definition, it's a growth that has a long stalk, a very thin stalk, and it can flop around. It'll change position. And when you're laying down, especially if you lay on your back, it can fall back into the airway and obstruct the air going through.
Kind of like a ball valve.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you're standing up, it falls into a different position and the air can get by.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's certainly a possibility. Now,
I usually lay on one side trying to clear it because the other nostril is always free. But,
yeah.
It may or may not work.
Yeah. And if it's on, if it's one side and only one side, I think there's a high probability you've either got a chronic sinusitis infection on that side, but it doesn't sound like you're complaining of pain in your cheek or anything. So that's, you know, or a nasty purulent sort of drainage. So my first gut is just to lean towards a polyp up there.
Deviated septum, possibly.
Possibly,
but that's
It would be deviated when he's standing too.
Right. True. True.
Deviated is deviated. So, no, I'm betting you got something just flopping around up there, and you ought to get your ENT guy to get up there and get rid of it for you.
And that's not really an air quality issue. It's an internal issue.
It's an internal issue. Yeah. Now the other possibility is some people can if they'll use a corticosteroid. Just a nasal spray on that side that has a steroid, they can actually shrink these polyps sometimes and not need the surgery.
Hmm.
So that's another possibility.
Okay, so check with my doctor.
Check with your ENT guy. Yep, and I'm betting he'll find us an answer in about 3 minutes of looking, okay?
Okay, thank you. Right. Appreciate you taking my call.
Aw, thank you for the call,
sir.
Don.
Bye-bye.
All right. From beautiful British Columbia, back to here in Shoreline, we have Lysinda on the line. Did I get that right, Lysinda?
Lucinda.
Lucinda. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
So, because I went to my regular doctor for my wellness exam, and she goes, I'll send you to the physical therapist because I can see that you do have trouble with your right side range of motion in my hip and strength. And so I went to the physical therapist, and after working with her for a couple of weeks, she goes, I think you have arthritis worse than what the x-ray showed, and you should go get x-ray and go to the orthopedic surgeon. So I went to the orthopedic surgeon. He said, he came in and talked for like 5 minutes, like you advertised 5 minutes, and said, our x-ray machine is down, but I could give you a cortisone steroid shot if you decide that you want that. And so at least that our x-ray machine's done, go get an x-ray. And so I went and got an x-ray the next day and got the results back from x-ray. And he says, you have arthritis at level 4. I'm so surprised because I walked like 7 miles yesterday and I'm fine as far as I'm walking straight forward. My physical therapist doesn't want to see me anymore. And I went to a stem cell PRP doctor and he looked at me and he said, surgery. I'm going, what? I'm walking. And my doctor that I saw for 5 minutes said, okay, you can come and get your cortisone. I go, I don't hurt.
Yeah.
And so I want to know what I should do and what I shouldn't do for arthritis when it's supposedly that bad.
So you got this opinion from a stem cell doctor that you need surgery. No. Or, did I miss it?
No, that was the physical therapist.
Right.
Who said that she had limited range of motion and felt that she had
arthritis
based on her exam.
Right. And then the x-ray was showed you had grade 4 arthritis, is that?
Yeah.
Did I hear?
Level 4, yeah.
Wow.
And so my physical therapist said goodbye, and the PR person I talked to said, if you actually have level 4 arthritis, I can't do anything. You don't have anything left.
Yeah. We got to talk about this, but I think we have a break.
You stay right there, Lucinda. We're going to talk more about this as the doctors are chatting during our break. We will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you mine, all mine. I'll be your bidding and be at your beck and call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Man, I got to have her. She's a one of a kind. I'm going once. Going twice, I'm close. The lady in the second row, she's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know. She's got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes, and I'm about to bid my heart goodbye.
We're back. Leading Edge Medicine, I'm Lynette. Dr. Dan Nelson here, Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're talking with Lucinda about her arthritis in her hips.
Lucinda, could you tell us again, how did you end up at the physical therapist? What was the original problem?
My regular wellness doctor says you're having a little bit of pain on your right side. I'll give you physical therapy. So I went to physical therapist.
So you did have pain.
Just a routine physical, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
real life pain, and mostly moving out, of course, not. But as long as I'm going forward, I walk forever. Doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm. I would not. Dr. Mix and I are a little bit. We're looking at each other like this is not really a problem that requires treatment if you're able to walk
I mean, she goes in for her physical exam. The doctor finds that she's got a little limitation of motion in one side.
Yeah.
But then she sounds like a lady of some mature years if this happens.
Right.
But she's having no real pain. She's walking 7 miles at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to treat you, ma'am.
Yeah, I think.
I'd say, bless you, child. Walk another 7 miles. Keep it up. Let me know when you have some pain.
So I guess the question is should I limit any activity because I have arthritis level 4?
No,
I would keep walking for sure. But, you know, you probably don't want to do any extreme sports. I don't think you're probably doing that anyway.
No, don't take up skydiving or mountain climbing.
But
my husband would be happy if I was skiing with him in the winter, but I'm going, I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
No, keep doing what you're doing. I would like to see the x-ray myself, obviously, but, we said this already today. We don't treat x-rays or MRIs. We treat patients. In your case, I would treat you with benign neglect and just say, keep doing what you're doing because it's working. And last thing we want is somebody to start doing something and, create a problem when there's not a problem there.
It stops working.
Yeah.
Or then she starts having pain.
Yeah. Right. That's the old adage. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So.
I guess part of the problem, I did say you could hear my voice that I made, I'm going, so I do worry that, you know, I'll be 80 years old and I'll be like, okay, you need a surgery, but now we don't want to do it because it might die from something else.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I recognize your concern, but I think that's, we don't want to subject you to surgery, which is, the risk of surgery is, it's not insignificant.
No,
especially,
it's not.
Especially with general anesthesia and the risks of, you know, well, all kinds of stuff. But I think you're do well to avoid anything that besides what you're doing right now, which is the best.
Yes. Stay out on that trail. Keep doing your walking, young lady. Go up and down. And
you know,
if your hips start interfering with your life, then go see Dr. Nelson and he'll figure out why and help you.
Yes. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So just keep doing. Okay.
Keep on keeping on.
Good job, Lucinda. Thank you for that call. All right, we've got one call left that we can take for the show today. Charlie calling in from South Prairie. Good morning, Charlie. Thank you for holding.
Good morning. I got a question to Dr. Mixon about rapamycin.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, my doctor said that it creates an autoimmune deficiency. Is that true?
No, in high doses, in the doses we're using it for aging process, we're only suppressing sirtuin 1 system, and that extends lifespan extensively. If you take a higher dose and suppress sirt 2, then you get an immune suppressant. So it's a dose related issue, and it depends on what doses you're using and why you're using it.
So the dose that I could request, what would it be?
Well,
a lower dose.
Once more, if your doctor doesn't know what dose you need, he should not be writing the medicine. When the patient knows more than the doctor about a medicine,
it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Right. Well, sure.
So, yeah, I'd suggest, you know, that you, if you really want rapamycin, you need to find a doctor who writes rapamycin, who knows the side effects, who knows the dosing, who knows what to watch for. Because anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. And you don't want...
Right.
Okay, so don't let that doctor write rapamycin for you, because he clearly doesn't know what to do with it, okay?
I see. The thing is, I also said that it could include, diabetic symptoms. And
Yes, and again, you have to know the side effects. It's called a pseudo-diabetes, in that your blood sugar tends to rise and your cholesterol tends to rise. And yet, And so these are very common adverse effects with the drug. Sugars and cholesterols both rise, and yet the animals live longer, happier, healthier lives. So it's not diabetes. Okay, and it's not doing you harm. That's why it's called pseudo-diabetes.
Mm. So my question is, when you're saying a lower dose, I mean, could I even mention a lower dose that would actually be beneficial to me?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, the most common doses used around the country are 4 to 6 milligrams a week. Okay, so somewhere between 4 and 6 milligrams once a week is how most people are using it.
I see.
Okay, but that's not you as an individual. That's what's the most common doses that are being used. But once more, anybody that writes this drug should know the adverse effects, should know where the safety factors are, should know what to do about them. Otherwise, they shouldn't be using the medicine.
I got you. The thing is, my doctor is actually a nurse practitioner, so maybe that might explain part of it.
Well, and so, about the only doctors using rapamycin are either longevity doctors like us, or researchers in the field, or transplant doctors that are using very high doses to keep people from rejecting the transplant. Now, the transplant doses, doctors use much, much higher doses than we use. But you really need a longevity doctor. That's what it comes down to.
Right. I heard it even coats your stents, and it's good for coating your stents, and it's good for cardiovascular.
Yes. And in the animal studies, it actually helps the older animals remodel their hearts and improve their cardiac output. So, you know, it's it has been shown to extend the lifespan on every animal we've ever tried it on, from worms through dogs and monkeys. And now people are using it, and people are seeing improvement in the markers of aging. But we haven't had it around long enough to know if we're really living longer or not.
Okay. Right. I heard it even is good for your skin.
Yep.
Agreed.
Yep. Although it can also, it increases hair growth and on your head. It it makes your prostate smaller. It does a lot of really neat stuff.
Wow.
But again,
so you can't get a hold of Easter Island and say, hey, how about sending me some?
Take a number, and that's not how it works.
But like I said, you need a doctor who uses it, who knows about it, who knows what to watch for, and who's monitoring your values. And and you don't just go to your nurse practitioner or your generalist and say, give me rapamycin.
They'll go, what?
Gotcha. I thank you very, very much, and enjoy the rest of your guys' weekend.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Charlie. Well, that's our show for today. Lots of different things that we discussed all throughout the day. Now, just a reminder, we will be recorded next week, both doctors learning more and getting more information, so they will be gone. But we have a great new show recorded and ready for you. That's next weekend. We'll be back live in the studio 2 weeks from today. Dr. Dan Nelson, thank you for coming in today.
An absolute pleasure. Can't believe 4 hours went by that fast.
I know. It goes by so quickly. And if you are wanting to get in touch with Dr. Dan Nelson at Pro Ortho, here's the number. It's 425-823-4000. And online, danielnelsonmd.com. And to get a hold of us and Dr. Mixon, of course, Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics, you can sign up for that free health analysis appointment still by just making a phone call, 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com, to get more information and find out all about us. We'd love to have you be one of our patients here at Longevity. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll be back live 2 weeks from today. Goodbye.